Welcome, councillors, officers, members of the press and the public gallery. Please be upstanding. We, the councillors of Hobsons Bay, recognise that we are privileged to serve a community enriched by diversity. We respect and value our community's backgrounds, customs and beliefs, and declare that we will always act impartially to the best of our skill and judgement. Through our deliberations and our conduct, we'll uphold the council values to deliver outcomes that enhance our beautiful city of Hobsons Bay. Please remain standing. I'd like to acknowledge that we're gathered on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. We recognise the First Peoples' enduring relationship to these lands and waters and offer our respect to their elders, past and present. Please be seated. So this meeting is being live-streamed on the council website to enhance public access to the deliberations of council. The meeting is also being recorded as a podcast and will be made available on the council website within 48 hours. Welcome, everybody, and people in the gallery tonight. It's important that the deliberations of the council can be observed by members of the public. I want to remind the gallery that council meetings are to be conducted in accordance with the Hobsons Bay governance rules, and that includes rules pertaining to the participation and behaviour of community members in attendance. And the rules, as you can imagine, are voluminous. I won't read them all out tonight, but I just want to make it clear that this is not a town hall meeting. This is a meeting of council. And so as participants, as gallery attendees, you're welcome to observe. And, of course, we will be taking a break throughout the in the middle of the meeting to recognise some honorees, some awards recipients from the Queen's birthday honours. But with the exception of that pause in the formal proceedings and, of course, the prospect of public questions being answered, there will be no back and forth with the gallery, and I ask you to observe quietly and to enjoy the proceedings and to observe your councillors at work. There are no apologies to be granted. I should just comment briefly on the mask situation. So workplaces don't have to wear masks unless there's a public-facing aspect, and as this is a public meeting, everyone will be wearing a mask unless speaking, and then they're free to take the masks off and replace it once they've finished speaking. And I thank you for observing the Chief Health Officer's guidelines as well. And I move now to item three, which is the disclosure of interests. And under the Local Government Act, councillors are required to disclose conflicts of interest. Councillors, are there any conflicts of interests to be disclosed?
Thanks, Ben Marston. I'd like to disclose an interest with regards to item number 9.1.1, Chief Executive Officer's Report on Operations, which refers to the Sons of the West program. I'm very pleased, as part of my work with the Men's Project at Jesuit Social Services, to deliver workshops as part of this program. I don't regard this as a material conflict of interest, and I don't plan to leave the room for this item.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Moving to the next, Councillor Greemer, no conflicts?
No, Mayor Marsden.
Thank you. Councillor Sutton-Lego, Councillor Hempel. I have none to declare. Councillor Priffa?
No.
Councillor Callender, none. Thank you. I've just realised that Councillor Jason Price, or the former Councillor Jason Price, a former colleague of a few of us, is in the audience, and I'd like to recognise as Chair your presence here tonight and welcome you especially. Thank you. It's good to see you again. We move now to item four, confirmation of minutes. These are the minutes that pertain to the council meeting of the 29th of June 2021. They have been circulated. Are there any questions or comments or corrections? In which case, I'll seek a mover. Councillor Sutton-Lego, the mover, and a seconder. Councillor Briffa, the seconder. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. We move now to councillor questions, and I'll start on my right-hand side for a change with the Deputy Mayor. Are there any questions you'd like to put?
Through you, Jonathan, I do have one question.
Yeah, sure. Please refer to me as Chair or Mayor.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
Page 49 of 160 of the Metropolis Survey results highlights that, and I will quote, "There is a significant group in the community who are extremely dissatisfied with fortnightly waste collection, noting a rating of 4.6 out of 10 being extremely poor. Can you please advise, when asked what frequency of collection these residents would like, what answer was provided, and what was that percentage?"
Okay, so I guess I'll put this to Ms. Winslade as the responsible director. Would you answer that? Councillor Callender, could you just turn off your mic? Thanks.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Callender, I'd need a couple of minutes to look up the page and find the reference so I can take it on notice or I can come back to it.
Certainly. No hurry. If you're not prepared. Thank you, Councillor Callender. Any other questions?
Yes, I do have another question.
But please restrict them to questions rather than statements. Thank you.
In the June 2020 Recycling 2.0 report, Option G provided costings of rolling out a big bin, 240 litre bin to all households. Can you please advise what this cost was as disclosed in that pack? Thank you.
If you don't know the answer, that's okay as well. You can take that on notice. Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, I would need to take that on notice. It's been a while.
Certainly. Thank you. All right. Any other questions?
Okay, that was $1.8 million, but no further questions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Callender. Councillor Briffa, go ahead.
No questions, thank you.
I have none. Councillor Hemphill? Councillor Sutton-Lagoe? Councillor Greener? None? Councillor Tyler? Okay. Well, that deals with item five. And the next one is public question time. And this is a chance for the public to ask questions of council related to items on the agenda of the council meeting or any other matter within council's responsibility. Questions must be put in writing and be received by midday, the day prior to the council meeting, that is 12 noon Monday. Questions received after this time will be responded to in writing by the appropriate council officer. And in accordance with subsection 13.1 of the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules, 20 minutes has been allocated for public question time with individual responses not exceeding 2 minutes each. And in accordance with 13.1.14, a maximum of 3 public questions may be submitted per meeting by a member of the public. So I'll start at the beginning and go to the end, and then I'll stop. First questioner is Ms. Rowena Joski, who asks the question, "Can Council please estimate what the likely impact on volumes of waste to landfill over time if Council reverts to a weekly garbage collection and at the same time shifts FOGO to a fortnightly collection?" And our response has been prepared by Council officers, and the response reads as follows. The recent review included modelling of different options based on assumptions. The modelling of FOGO, that is food organics, garden organics, the modelling of FOGO to fortnightly and garbage to weekly was based on an assumption of an increase in landfill of 48%, being a 15% frequency change and a 33% decrease in FOGO. These assumptions are based on Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Group modelling and a study undertaken in the City of Monash. Question two also comes from Ms. Joski, and it reads, "Council has previously explained that the landfill levy will impose a significant cost increase over the next 2 years, even if our volume of waste to landfill remains constant. Following rising trajectory of the landfill levy, what would be the financial impact to the waste service charge over the next 5 years, factoring in a return to the weekly garbage service and reducing FOGO to a fortnightly service?" The council response reads, "Based on modelling undertaken as part of the recent review, the financial impact in the first year of a return to weekly garbage and fortnightly FOGO is assumed to be approximately $540,000, which equates to an increase in the waste service charge of approximately $14 per household in the first year. There is a one-off capital cost of approximately $300,000. As the landfill levy increases, this will continue to impact costs across all councils in the future." And a third and final question from Ms. Joski reads, "Can Council please explain why, on Friday 2nd of July, it deleted its media release and Facebook post, which communicated the results of the waste services review and survey?" And the Council response reads, "Concerns were raised about the media release, and out of respect, it was taken down on Friday 2nd of July 2021. Simultaneously, a notice of rescission was received to allow for the notice of rescission to be tabled and debated. All online commentary was suspended ahead of the urgent meeting on 8th of July 2021. Thank you, Ms. Joski, for your questions. Next questioner is Tyra DeFeo, who asks two questions. And the first question reads, I'm a responsible dog owner that picks up after my dog. At times it is impossible to find a rubbish bin along the walking paths. Where there are no bins, people throw the used bags along these paths and is spoiling our beautiful nature walks. Some areas have bins situated very close together, while other areas have none. Can we have more bins at the end of the walking paths? And the council response reads, Council provides dog bag dispensers and rubbish bins along the walking paths and trails across Hobsons Bay. Council is currently reviewing the provision of dog off-leash areas, with a community consultation process to take place in the coming months. The provision of dog bag dispensers and rubbish bins is part of this review. Mr. Fayo now asks a second question, which reads, I'm aware that there are quite a few residents who leave food out for the birds. Unfortunately, this increases rodent numbers. Is there a way that the community to be notified to discontinue feeding birds as these feed rodents also? And the response reads, Council does discourage residents from feeding birds by installing signage at strategic locations where we know this occurs. Thank you, Mr. Fayo. I move now to our third questioner, Ms. Leah Morgan. And this question has been redacted somewhat because of the presence of statements and rhetorical questions. The question reads, in the yearly review of curbside recycling, 86% of Hobsons Bay residents rated the system as very good or good. Why has this data been suppressed? And the council response reads, the review report is a public document and is available on council's website. The 86% satisfaction rate quoted in the review is a random sample survey feedback of the overall four bin system. A large number of questions were asked in the review and satisfaction with individual waste streams received a range of responses. Thank you, Ms. Morgan. Ms. Shelley Burnoff now asks a question which excludes a preamble and reads, I believe the waste and litter management strategy was adopted in mid-2019 and council resolved in February 2021 to phase out single-use plastics from all council managed and run events. Can you please provide an update on what council has done to implement this to date, including when you anticipate this to be fully implemented? The council response to Ms. Burnoff's question reads, extensive research and consultation has been undertaken internally and phasing out of single-use plastics has commenced. Council is working through the final stages of the development of the single-use plastics policy and implementation plan, which will guide how single-use plastics can be phased out from all council-managed and run events. The policy will be brought to council for noting in the coming months. Ms. Burnoff asks a second question, which reads, the motion upheld in the urgent meeting on 8th July 2021 will allow all residents to opt into a compostable paper bag trial for the food organics, garden organics bin. Can you please advise when this trial will commence, including how residents can opt in? The council response reads, now that the trial has been endorsed by council, implementation will be developed and finalised. Council is currently working through the logistics of how the trial will be rolled out, including timing. Residents will be informed of the process and how to opt in through a variety of sources, including social media and council's website. Residents can register their interest with customer service to be individually contacted when the trial commences. There will be web-based registration options available shortly. Ms. Shelley Burnoth asks a third and final question and reads as follows. The cloth nappy rebate included in the 2021-22 budget is a great idea to help reduce landfill volumes while giving parents choice. Can you please advise how the rebate works, including the amount rebated, and when it will become available for residents to apply? And the council response reads, now that the annual budget 2021-22 has been adopted, council will be finalising the design and implementation of the cloth nappy rebate scheme. Council anticipates the rebate will be a partial rebate to offset the initial outlay for cloth nappies for families and help reduce landfill volumes. Once the process has been finalised, council will promote the rebate via usual communication channels and through targeted services and programs such as our maternal child health service. We move now to the first and only question from Mr. Ian Guy. Mr. Guy poses the question, could council outline the plans in place to deal with the likely increase in disease-carrying flies arising from the switch to fortnightly green waste and food collections that they endorsed as a result arising from the switch from fortnightly Green and Waste food collections that they endorsed as a result of the move from weekly to fortnightly Green Waste collection. And the council response reads as follows. The introduction of the paper bag trial will help to contain food waste smells, and if there are insect issues, it will also help to minimise these. Council endorses residents to review the tips on how to manage food organics and garden organics smells and mess on the council website. Ms. Maura Deeming asks a question which, in essence, is, under Victorian law, is it legal for councils to provide sex-based targeted services and facilities separately to gender identity-based targeted services and facilities? And the answer to this, as provided by the council, reads as follows. There are protections under the Equal Opportunity Act 2010 when not allowing people to, for example, use a bathroom based on gender identity would be discriminatory. Locally, Hobsons Bay City Council supports access for everyone in our community to be able to use a bathroom of their choice. This includes supporting all access, all gender, or non-gender specific facilities. This is now standard for the new builds and planned retrofit work of council facilities. Council is also reviewing the Hobsons Bay Public Toilet Strategy this year. The review will consider access and what work needs to be undertaken to ensure inclusivity. Ms. Rosa McKenna asks three questions, the first of which reads as follows. According to the community survey, what are the satisfaction levels within the current frequency of the weekly food organics, garden organics collection? And the council response reads as detailed in the Curbside Waste and Recycling Service review report, that is page 48 of 160 in the Metropolis 2021 Curbside Collection Services Review Survey, attached to the review on Council's website. Satisfaction levels for the current weekly FOGO collection were very satisfied, 83% random sample survey and 73% online opt-in survey. Neutral, 14% random and 20% online opt-in. And then dissatisfied, comprised 3% random and 7% online opt-in. Second question from Ms. McKenna. When asked, what proportion of those surveyed prefer to return to a weekly garbage service when the cost of that service alone was considered? And the council response reads, the survey included a question asking residents their preferred option for general rubbish with additional costs outlined for the options. The results were, first, 52% of the random telephone and 34% of the opt-in online survey respondents preferred the current system of a small 120-litre bin collected fortnightly. Point two, 21% in the random survey and 26% online opt-in survey preferred a large 240-litre general rubbish bin collected fortnightly at an additional charge of $15 to $20 per year for each household. Third point, 14% random and 12% online opt-in preferred a small 120-litre general rubbish bin collected weekly at an additional charge of $40 to $45 per year for each household. And fourthly, 13% in the random survey and 28% online opt-in did not know or did not provide a response. Ms. McKenna's third question reads, when asked, what proportion of those surveyed preferred to return to a combined weekly garbage collection and reduced fortnightly FOGO collection when the cost of this combined service was considered? The council response reads as follows and is in four parts. Respondents were asked which options they preferred for the FOGO collection service. The results were 70% of the random telephone and 53% of the opt-in online survey respondents preferred the current system of a 120-litre FOGO bin collected weekly. 12% in the random survey and 15% online opt-in preferred a large 240-litre FOGO collected weekly at an additional charge of $30 per year per household. 7% in the random survey and 6% online opt-in preferred a small 120-litre FOGO collected fortnightly at a reduced charge of $30 per year per household. And finally, 11% in the random survey and 27% in the online opt-in did not know or did not provide a response. We move now to a new questioner or questioners. This is a combined question put by Jeff and Regina Godfredson. And their question reads as follows. It is proposed to create a 6-metre wide path from Webb Street to Bent Street in Altona to replace the existing 2-metre wide path. Why is Council widening the path to 6 metres when most paths in the municipality are between 2 and 2.5 metres wide? The Council response reads, the shared user path will be widened from Webb Street to Bent Street as part of the upgrades within the Altona Foreshore Precinct. The widening of the shared user path aims to reduce user conflict through this section of the foreshore, which experiences high visitation loads, particularly during the summer months. Jeff and Regina Godfredson pose a second question, which reads, as part of Hobsons Bay City Council's annual capital works program, Council will be reconstructing the coastal trail from Dowman Street to Yarra Street, Newport, from early April 2019. To ensure the safe passage for cyclists and pedestrians, the existing asphalt path will be replaced with a 3-metre wide concrete shared path. And the question, if 6 metres is the appropriate width for a shared path in Altona, why are all paths throughout the city not being upgraded to 6 metres? Why only Altona? And the council answer reads, a 6-metre wide shared user path is being provided along the Altona foreshore due to high visitation loads, particularly during the summer months. A wide path is similarly provided behind Williamstown Beach, and recent developments in foreshore areas around the bay, including St Kilda and Sandridge, have also introduced wide promenades to reduce congestion. A 3-metre wide shared user path is the standard width in other areas throughout Hobsons Bay where patronage rates are lower. And the final question from Jeff and Regina Godfredson reads, is there a master plan showing the full extent of the proposed path, including its route, and how it will interface with existing infrastructure? If such a plan exists, why has it not been shared with the public for comment? And the council response reads, a master plan has not been developed for the Altona Beach Precinct. The shared user path will be developed consistent with its existing alignment along the foreshore. Its integration with existing infrastructure is site-specific and is addressed during the design of each project. Each project includes its own community consultation process where any changes to the path alignment will be communicated. And that concludes public question time. Thank you all for your questions. I'd like to remind members of the gallery that if they have not already submitted a question and they would like to ask a question that relates to an item on tonight's agenda, to complete a form which are at the door. So at any point during the meeting, if you want to ask a question of the council, you can get one of those forms, complete the form, and then hand it to Mr. Andrew McLeod, the Director of Corporate Services. So the man there under the painting. The question will be addressed during the supplementary public question time segment later in the meeting. Thank you all. Moving on now to section 7, which is about petitions and joint letters. 7.1, petitions and joint letters received. Councillors, do we have any petitions or joint letters to be tabled?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I do.
Thank you. Councillors, under Rule 12.1.2 in the Governance Rules, we will need a motion to receive and note the petition and refer it to the next appropriate council meeting for a report.
Mr. Mayor, I so move that Council 1 receives and notes the petition in relation to Hobsons Bay, : don't go backwards to a costly and waste-filled future petition. And secondly, that subject to a review of the validity of the petition in accordance with the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules, receives a further report on this matter at a future council meeting. I so moved.
Thank you, Councillor Hempel. I'll just wait until those words are on screen and then I'll look for a seconder.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Let's just wait to see the words and then we can proceed. Okay, so I think we're good. Can everyone see those words? It comes in two parts, so we might have to just zoom out. I just want to make sure that everyone can see those words. And we have a motion now which has been moved by Councillor Peter Hemphill, seconded by Councillor Diana Greemer. I will now go to Councillor Hemphill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This petition has come about due to the debate in the last couple of weeks in relation to the collection of bins, waste bins. The community that's community members that had signed this petition had hoped that it would have been tabled at last Thursday's meeting, but given the nature of that meeting, it couldn't. There are, I believe, and I haven't counted them all, but I believe there are 1,837 names attached to this, from those people that support the retention of fortnightly garbage collection and weekly FOGO collection. And I understand, or the lead petitioner believes there are 1,537 of the people who supported the petition are deemed by the lead petitioner to be local under our own governance rules, which would be an extraordinarily high number. And I note that some of them on the petition would be they come under a postal code. And for those that are in, watching online, the petition has a name, the city, a postal code, and when they signed, most of them were signed on the 6th and the 7th, 8th and 9th of July. And I note that some of the people that signed that have their postal code as 3000, and I know there's some in there, 3111 and 3001, I should say. And I noticed that some of those are clearly local residents because I recognise their names and I recognise the people.
Sorry, you all know the rules. Please don't interject. Thank you.
So we just go through a process now of determining the validity of how many of those are local and the validity of the petition, but I so table the petition.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Councillor Greemer.
I second this because, you know, I believe in democracy and I would like to see it. I'd like to discuss it lengthy with my council colleagues. Unfortunately, this petition was given to me late during the day, just about 15 minutes before we were to enter here. So I need to look at it. And also, obviously, we need to look at who signed it, if it's legal, and I'm happy to get seek advice, discuss with my council colleagues, because this is an important issue and I'm all for looking at a petition and democracy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Greemer. Councillor Tyler, and then I'll ask for any other speakers after that. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. This petition, as my councillor colleague identifies, comes from members of the community, and regardless of whether or not you agree with what's in the petition, it's a crucial part of a functioning democracy. We're making a decision tonight, as reflected in the motion, on whether or not to accept the petition for consideration by council officers, and officers will subsequently make the determination on whether it meets the governance rules.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Any other speakers? Councillor Callender, go ahead.
So similarly to Councillor Tyler's comments, the wording of the motion has been amended to note that the receipt of this petition is subject to a review of the validity of the petition in accordance with the Hobson Bay governance rules. We had a debate last week surrounding those governance rules, so I think that it's really important that we look to those for guidance and obviously ensure that any petition that's received meets those rules. If we look at 12.1.5, a signatory of a petition or joint letter will be regarded as valid when the residential address or the business address of a landowner is within a 10-kilometre radius of the Hobson Bay municipal boundaries. So I suspect that many of these signatories in this petition don't live in Hobsons Bay. 12.1.15, all electronic petitions must contain as a minimum the name, email address and suburb or postcode of each electronic signatory in order to comply with 12.1.5. Change.org petitions do not contain all of these details. 12.1.16, an electronic petition that does not contain the requirements as specified in Rule 12.1.15 will not be considered by Council. I'd like to compare this petition to one that was received early last year, one with 1,120 physical signatures of local residents, a manual paper petition that called on weekly garbage to be reinstated. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. Any other speakers to the petition? In which case, Councillor Hemphill?
Yes, if I may, I'd just like to point out something that Councillor Callender said. Under the rules, it says that a signatory has to be within 10 kilometres of Hobsons Bay's boundary. She said that she suspects a lot of these people don't live in Hobsons Bay. The point is they don't have to be living in Hobsons Bay for their legitimacy to be accepted. But clearly you'll find, as you'll find in a lot of change.org petitions, there will be people from interstate, there'll be people from overseas, but from what I'm scanned just briefly, quite a number of them, quite an overwhelming number of them are deemed to be local. Secondly, on change.org petitions, as Councillor Callender points out, that there has to be signatories to it, but we're about to deal with another petition later on which was similarly sent in through change.org, which didn't have signatures as well, and we're going to deal with that as well later on. I'll leave it at that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. Thank you all. We'll move now to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. Are there any other petitions or joint letters to be tabled?
I have a joint letter to table.
Certainly. Would you like to move that it be tabled now?
So I'd like to move that the Council receives and notes the joint letter in relation to the garbage collection debate that we had over the last few weeks. I don't believe that it requires validity by the governance rules. It can just be moved as a letter?
Yes, I think that's...
Yep.
That's acceptable. Yeah.
I'm happy to second that.
Certainly. So, Councillor Sutton Lego, with words on the screen, seconded by Councillor Peter Hemphill. Can we just look at those words?
Did we see this letter? No. We didn't see it. No. I just want to get advice, that's all. Before I question it.
No, no, it's all right. You'll have the opportunity to ask questions. Sorry. In a second. Just keep the chatter down. Could you turn your mics off? Yeah, that's good. Thanks. So just looking at the governance rules, and similarly to the previous item, 12.1.5 is a signatory of a petition or joint letter. So it might be wise in this case to include that second provision, that second paragraph.
Yeah, of course.
With the seconder's agreement, of course. All right. So before we proceed, I just want to make sure that your words are on screen and accurately reflect your motion.
Yeah.
Yep, please change petition to joint letter in this case.
Yep.
Okay, so you're happy with those words?
Yep.
And the seconder? Good, okay. Any questions pertaining to this?
Would you like me to...
I'm just going to give okay. all councillors an opportunity to ask questions if they wish to. Go ahead, Councillor Briffa.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, we've just had a briefing, as everybody knows. We've discussed things. I haven't seen this letter. Has it been tabled? Has it been advised to councillors? People talk about, you know, no surprises. Well, here we go. Can we please table this letter before we actually discuss it? We need to see what this letter's about, who it's from, what it's about. Is it offensive? Like one of the questions that we had tonight, highly inappropriate. So, yeah, thanks.
Mr. Mayor, it has been circulated about.
When?
Just that.
Just then.
Okay.
We just got an email.
I'll ask you not to interject. This is quite often the case in my history over the past 5 years that we receive petitions and joint letters on the day of.
No, point of, that's just not true.
18 signatures.
Wow. Councillor Callender, please refrain from playing to the crowd. You're addressing your councillor colleagues in a respectful environment.
I think that's you, Mr. Mayor.
Hello.
Please. Look, let's just take some time out here and think about what's going on. This is a debate to be had. This is not a chance for people to randomly interject for the entertainment of the people here. I would ask you to refer respectfully during your debate to me as the chair and not treat this as a stand-up comedy routine.
Mayor Marsden, can I add to the debate?
We haven't started the debate yet, so,
oh, right.
so
okay.
perhaps just allow any other questions to be answered. So I'll ask my councillor colleagues to respectfully put any questions they have.
I move that this motion be deferred until the next ordinary council meeting so that we can the councillors have the opportunity to consider this before it comes to us in the principle of no surprises.
Certainly. So let's deal with that deferral motion now. I'll need a seconder for that to get up.
Happy to be the seconder to defer.
Thank you, Councillor Callender. So we now have that motion. We will...
Can I just quickly say something to it? All I want to say about it, I mean, I've just had a quick look at it, and I don't have any objection about the content, but I do have an objection that we just received this during a council meeting. You know, talk about, you know, inappropriate... Let's just take a step back, be civil, work professionally with each other. So that's why I'm suggesting that this comes to us at the next ordinary council meeting so we follow due process.
Thank you. Okay, so the topic under discussion is that we defer this to the next council meeting. This is the motion on the screen now, just so everyone's clear. They're the words that Councillor Briffa has moved and that Councillor Callender has seconded. I'll ask now Councillor Briffa to speak briefly to that motion.
I think I just have. Yeah, I'm happy to put it to the vote.
Councillor Callender? Thank you. Any other speakers?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to point out the petition I thought had been sent to all councillors. Sorry, the letter, I should say, had been sent to all councillors. But I also make the point that all we're doing is receiving and noting it, so it will come to us anyway. I don't know, see the reason why we have to defer it.
Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. I think it's a shame that we've been put in this position. As I said a moment ago, really welcome, in the spirit of a functioning democracy, receiving petitions and joint letters. Although we received the prior petition quite late, made aware of that, just immediately before the council meeting. I think it's a shame that this wasn't raised at the same time. I really see, I guess, no real reason why that didn't happen, to be honest. And so it's a shame that we're put in this position. And, I welcome seeing the letter at the next council meeting. I haven't even had a chance to have a read of it. But, welcome receiving this letter, and again, it's just a shame we're in this situation.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Any other questions?
I'll go
Councillor Greener, then Councillor Sutton-Lego. Go ahead, Councillor Greener.
I take this very seriously, so I would like, I mean, I've just been sent now, which my colleague just sent to me now, because I take it seriously and I do care about the community. I want to raise it with the council and my council colleagues for the next council meeting. That's all I'm going to say. I've accepted the petition. I second it. But because it's a cover letter, I want to discuss it and do it properly and fair, because that's why I was elected. Let's actually talk about it. Ask the council, not just now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Greener. Councillor Sutton-Lego.
So this letter only came to me today, and I only saw it at the very end of the day. And the community has a right to put these communications up, which, as we've all talked about. I did actually try to raise it during the briefing. We talked, whilst other councillors may not have heard that even brief conversation, we had a long conversation about the petition. And so this was at the very end of the discussion, and I was advised to raise it at the meeting, which is what I'm doing. Like you, I would have liked more time to consider these things, but in fact, the reason it's been submitted this evening is because the signatories would have liked to have put this up at before the rescission motion last week, but were unable to do so due to the way the meeting is run. So it's taken them this time to put the letter together and have it ready for this meeting. So I think it's quite reasonable, whilst it is short notice, and I, again, would have liked to have seen it much earlier myself, but just given the way everything has unfolded the last few days, everything has been incredibly rushed and incredibly fast-moving. So I don't believe that there's any intent by anyone to try to, put this in under people's noses or anything like that. It's just been a very fast-moving situation. And again, I'm sure that the group, and they say it in their letter, would have liked to have put this forward last week, but the special meeting doesn't allow that to happen. So they've put it forward this week, being the first council regular council meeting after that rescission motion. So there's recognition that the decision has
We're debating the deferral.
No worries. So in terms of the deferral, I see no reason to defer. We're asking for it to be received, and I think that's a reasonable request. Even I recognise that it's come at very short notice.
Thank you, Councillor Sutton-Lego. I'll return now to Councillor Briffico.
Thank you. If I could have the mic. Look, I don't accept that this is very short notice. The email that Councillor Empelson circulated to the councillors just a few minutes ago with the joint letter clearly shows that it was sent to Councillor Hempel and Pamela Councillor Sutton-Lego at 10 past 12 today. In the letter it speaks, "Dear all, we have just corrected an error in the letter. The reference to act and was and fixed has the duplicate name on the signature panel. This is the version that will be presented. Please delete previous versions sent by Adobe Science." So apparently previous versions were also sent. "Thank you, Peter, for presenting both the petition and joint letter. Rowena will have print copy of petition to give you tonight. Chloe Booker from The Age has picked up the story, so expect to see an article in tomorrow's edition. Regards, Rosa." So there you go. With that, I'm happy to move the motion for a deferral. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, may I respond, given I was... contradicted.
This is a simple procedural motion to defer the motion in the next council meeting. And I'll go now to the vote. All those in favour of Councillor Briffa's motion, all those against? The motion is carried. Thank you. Division has been called by Councillor Briffa. We'll take the vote anew. All those in favour of the deferral motion? And that is Councillor Tyler, Councillor Greener, Councillor Briffa, Councillor Callender. All those against? Councillor Sutton-Lego, Councillor Hempel, Councillor Marsden. The motion is carried. And this item will therefore, the question of the adoption of the joint letter will be deferred until the next council meeting. Thank you. Let's move on. We move now to the second part of the petitions and joint letters, which is 7.2.1. And this is a response to a petition. And the petition is entitled Save Our Laverdon Pool, Laverdon Swim and Fitness Centre. I'll invite questions from councillors now concerning this item. There appear to be none, in which case I seek a mover.
Happy to move, Mayor Marsden.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler, the mover, the seconder.
I'll second that, Mayor Marsden.
Thank you, Councillor Greemer. Councillor Tyler, you have 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. Firstly, I'd like to commend the lead petitioners, Sarah Dowling and Joe Haley, two Salt of the Earth community people. And I'd also like to thank the 1,123 people who signed the petition. And quoting from the petition, in 2019, the Hobsons Bay Council endorsed the closing down of the Laverdon Swim and Fitness Centre. The decision to close the pool was made without proper consultation with the residents of Laverdon. This petition is in response to the voice of our community and what this pool means to the people of Laverdon. The reality is that many people across Laverdon were not aware of the decision made by the prior council to close Laverdon Pool and construct the proposed water play and youth facility. During the election campaign, I said I'd elevate the voices of people like Sarah and Joe, the lead petitioners, and I'm glad council officers have met with both of them. I also said I'd seek in-depth community consultation to understand the needs of the community when determining the way forward. Noting the decision to close the pool, the forthcoming consultation, as outlined in the council papers regarding the McCormack Park Master Plan, seeks to do just that. In addition to seeking input on the park itself, the consultation will seek input on how council could best facilitate access to the proposed new aquatic facility at Bruce Comden Reserve. This is an opportunity to raise concerns related to costs or available transport as examples. While this is a challenging situation, I'm hopeful this next step means awareness about the decision made by the prior council continues to increase and we gain a better understanding of the community's needs to inform both the McCormack Park Master Plan as well as how best to ensure accessibility to the new aquatic centre. Stage one of the consultation will begin soon and I'd really encourage people to participate and contribute.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Councillor Greemer, you, as the seconder to the motion, you have 3 minutes.
I'd like to thank Councillor Tyler for actually recognising and contributing to this pool that meant so much to the community. I'll start off by saying the community raised funds to get this pool to be there, and it was under Wyndham. So unfortunately, we were the neglected suburb when we were run under Wyndham when I was that little girl. And my father, my grandmother, raised, and with the community, raised funds for the pool. But I recognise it's a deeper issue. There's other issues. People use it for, you know, exercise, for social, and all these things. But we have to look at the consultation, see what they have to offer. And before I was elected, I did not agree that a water park is suitable for the needs of the people who are actually utilising the Laverdon Swimming Pool, including myself, for the last 30 years. So I applaud council for actually, you know, doing a full consultation, reviewing the process of considering of a water park and considering the needs of the residents. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Greemer. Is anyone against this motion? Any other speakers to the motion? Go ahead, Councillor Hemphill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just like to point out that when the previous council looked at the aquatics centre and looked at the Laverdon Pool and the one proposed at the Bruce Comden Reserve, it was about which was the best siting for such a pool, given that the existing pool is sort of on the perimeter of Hobsons Bay, but and not denigrating all those people that had put a lot of time and effort over those many years ago to get the pool. I know that I'm going to say probably 15 years ago there was a strong push to close the pool down completely without replacing it, purely and simply because of the costs, the high costs of running such a facility, and probably that's the reason why it's fallen into some disrepair over time, even though we've spent a bit of money in the last four or five years to try and make it work. The other point is, particularly in relation to the siting of the pool, we've got more chance of getting state and federal funding if it was at Bruce Common Reserve, and probably no chance of getting funding if it was at Laverton from those other sources of sources of income from different levels of government. So there's quite a little bit of work done on that. Whether people were brought along with it, I can't really comment because it wasn't in my ward at the time. But I recognise that we've got to communicate a bit better on this particular item. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill. I'll ask the mover now to sum up and close debate.
Happy to go to the vote, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. We move now to 8.1, namely the recognition of the Hobsons Bay residents in the Queen's Birthday 2021 honours list. And before we move on to the report, I would like to... Well, first of all, I'll read out what the variation of business entails in accordance with Rule 6.1.5 of the Hobsons Bay Governance Rules. The Chief Executive Officer has varied the normal order of business to enable Council to acknowledge, ahead of other business, the achievements of Hobsons Bay residents who are recognised in the Queen's Birthday 2021 Honours List, who are invited to attend the Council meeting. And I'll ask Councillors if there are any questions of this item. If there are none, I will invite a mover.
Happy to move.
And a seconder. Oh, sorry, I got Councillor Tyler just a little bit ahead. I think we've got a clash of mics here.
So. Go for it. I'll let Matt go for it. Sorry, Mr. Tyler.
Thank you. All right. So I'll now put that motion. Rather, I'll ask the mover to speak to the motion now.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That's all right. It's just that I've got some things to say.
Coming down pretty quick, then.
Yeah. No, I'll.
I'm not going to speak for very long.
Sure.
We've decided some time ago, this council, that we would recognise those people who were in any honours list, whether it's the Australian Day or Queen's Birthday's honours list. And we have in the Queen's Birthday honours list just recently that there were five local people. I don't know all of them, but I certainly know Pat Dorr reasonably well. She's been a stalwart of the badminton centre in off Mason Street. I've been to a number of the carnivals that she organises there. I think almost on a yearly basis there's quite a few carnivals there, and she's certainly been a strong advocate for that centre for a number of years. I believe she lives in Williamstown. And as a local, but she's been recognised particularly... for her services to the sport of badminton rather than sport per se. So it's pretty... given that badminton is a relatively small sport than some of the bigger sports, it is very prominent here because we have one of the few centres in Melbourne, and I know Ms. Dore has done an enormous job to promote that and promote the sport of badminton. So I'll leave it at that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill, for your kind words. I'll move now to the seconder, Councillor Tyler, to speak to the motion. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. Firstly, echoing Councillor Hemphill, wanted to extend my profound thanks and congratulations to each of the recipients for the contributions they've made to our community and Australia more broadly for that matter. I really enjoyed reading the write-ups of each of the recipients in the local paper, sharing a bit about each of their journeys. And I hope other recipients don't mind, given my day job and work to prevent violence, I particularly want to highlight the contributions of Karen Howe, who as part of her work in the service of people with disability has focused on women's health and violence prevention. There's a quote from Karen in one of those articles in the Star Weekly, which I'd like to share. She says, in particular, as a woman, I was interested in the issues that confront women with disabilities that weren't always recognised by the broader disability advocacy movement. Thank you, Karen, for your really incredible contribution, and congratulations to all the recipients of the Queen's Birthday Honour. It's all very much deserved.
Thank you for your kind words, Councillor Tyler. Any other speakers to the motion? Then it returns to you, Councillor Hemphill.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy for it to go the vote. Just again acknowledging all those wonderful people that recently got the got a gong.
Well said. And I'd like to now put that motion to the vote. All those in favour. The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. Thank you, councillors, for recognising these awards and recipients, and I'd like to make a few comments on behalf of Council now. I'd like to take a brief moment to welcome and recognise Katrina Glidden, who's in the audience, in the front row. Thank you for being here, Ms. Glidden, and congratulations. Kieran Howe was here before, sitting at the front there, but unfortunately had to leave, didn't have much time to spare, but I'd like to recognise her, and I'll read something about each of the other award recipients as well. The Queen's Birthday Honours List recognises the outstanding service and contributions of Australian citizens nationwide each year, and this year five Hobsons Bay residents were recognised among the 1,190 honoured. Patricia Dar, OAM, Shelley Penn, AM, and Christopher Reedy, PSM, were unable to attend this evening. It is my pleasure, on behalf of the Hobsons Bay City Council, to congratulate each of the recipients and acknowledge their individual achievements. The aforementioned Katrina Glidden, our honoured guest tonight, was awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia, OAM, for service to the international community of Cambodia. Karen Howe was awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia for service to people with disability. Patricia Dore was awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia, OAM, for service to badminton. Shelley Penn was appointed a member of the Order of Australia, AM, for significant service to architecture and design in the public realm and to professional institutes. Christopher Reedy was awarded a Public Service Medal, a PSM, for outstanding public service to community celebrations in Victoria. And I invite everyone to warmly congratulate these very hardworking and deserving Hobsons Bay citizens. Thank you all. Very well done. We move on now to 9.1.1, which is the Chief Executive Officer's Report on Operations. Any questions, councillors, on this item? Since there are none, I seek a way forward. Thank you. Councillor Sutton Legault, the mover. Let's have a seconder to discuss the item. Seeking a seconder for the Chief Executive's Officer's Report on Operations. Councillors, wake up. Councillors, I need a seconder to enter debate, and I encourage one of you to put your hands up.
Okay, I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa, for kindly seconding. Whew, that was a long wait. We'll go now to the mover, who has 5 minutes to speak to the motion.
As usual, a comprehensive report on the amazing number of activities that are happening around the municipality, and I won't speak long to this. We've spoken a long time tonight, I'm happy to move this. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Santelico. Councillor Briffa?
Thank you, and I just realised my microphone was still on, so sorry about that. look, I'm happy to second this report. I love these reports, and I encourage residents to see them because, well, it really outlines the stuff that we've been doing, even during the pandemic, successive lockdowns and all that sort of stuff. We're still a very, very busy council administration, and I certainly value and appreciate the work of all the officers. I encourage people to look at the report and happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Any other speakers? Anyone against? Go ahead, Councillor
Briffa. No, I definitely support this. Well, I'd encourage residents to look at it because it actually might answer questions that you may need to know, where to go, what's happening in your neighbourhood. So please give it a read. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Any other speakers? In which case, I'll go back to the mover.
Happy to go to the vote.
In which case, we'll do that very thing. I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you. 9.1.2, the next item, which is the adoption of Lead West Advisory Committee meeting minutes from the 19th May 2021. Any questions pertaining to this? There appear to be none.
I've got a question.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Briffa, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just... excuse me. Actually, I'm going to take this thing off. Could you explain this, or maybe an officer explain this, because it just seems strange that we're adopting minutes of a meeting that we weren't present at. So if someone can just explain why it is that we're doing what we are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. It's a fair question. Yeah, no, it's good. I'll ask Mr McLeod to respond.
Yep, through you, Mr Mayor. And thanks for the question, Councillor Briffa. This is part of the transition arrangements moving to a joint committee, as you will see coming in the item after this. This is a change to the Lead West Committee, and we'll see established a joint committee, which effectively gives some delegated power to that committee. This will become part of a formal report back. It probably could be represented as a receive and note the adopted minutes, but at this stage, because the committee itself hasn't formed, it's represented as an adoption, so that the council is fully aware. That's all.
So, sorry, supplementary question. Because I must admit, I'm really uncomfortable adopting minutes of a meeting that I wasn't at. So I don't really understand why. Receiving and noting the minutes, I'd be very happy with, but adopting the minutes just seems a bit strange to me. So could you explain again why we're not receiving and noting and actually adopting, and what adopting actually means? Like, were there important resolutions that we need to know about that we're going to be exposing ourselves to? Or I don't know.
I think it's explained in the recommendation in the agenda, which says that council receives and notes the chief executive officer's report on operations. So perhaps in this case, adoption is a red herring. That was something that was in my notes.
I'll be happy to move this motion when we finish questions, but I will move it with the support of councillors if they do, that the council receives and notes the minutes. And if there's an issue with that, I'd like the officers to tell us now. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
No, it's a good question, and I think a sensible change. So if you're... we'll move it as... with those changes to receive
Please.
A note as differs from the recommendation, then I'll seek a seconder. Councillor Tyler, the seconder, in which case it goes to you, Councillor Briffa, to talk to.
Thank you. And I just realised I'm not the Lead West. Sorry, I'm just... I'm happy to support this, and I very much support Lead West and the work that they do for us. Anything that promotes the beautiful western suburbs, amazing western suburbs of Melbourne, I completely support, and it's important that all of us Western Suburbs Councils work together, and I certainly acknowledge the work of Councillor Tyler in this group. So, and I think, I much prefer the motion saying that we receive and adopt, receive and notes the minute rather than adopts, given that, you know, I and another number of other councillors weren't actually there. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Tyler.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. Just thought I provided an opportunity to share a little bit about, for folks who aren't aware, who might be in the gallery or watching what Lead West is all about. And so as Councillor Briffa touched on, this is a group with five other councils that advocates for the interests of the West. And I'll just share from their strategic plan, which is on their website, their five goals, and just in brief, I guess. First, an enterprising region, and so we're talking here about high-quality jobs, skills, vibrant public and private enterprise zones. Second, a vibrant social economy, and so sports, leisure, arts, culture, tourism. Third, a better connected West. Transport, particularly, as well as air, sea, road and rail infrastructure. Fourth, a healthy and resilient West, and that includes a particular passion of mine, initiatives in that strategic plan related to mental health. And then fifth, a livable and sustainable West. I'm really grateful to be Council's representative on Lead West and really look forward to continuing to make a contribution through this forum.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. Any other speakers? Anyone against the motion? Speakers to the motion.
I'm just going to say I'm looking forward to receiving reports and seeing what we can do in council. And aren't we lucky we got Councillor Tyler on there?
Thank you, Councillor Greenmer. We'll move now back to Councillor Briffa to close debate.
Happy to put that to the vote. Thank you.
I'll now put that that motion to the vote. All those in favour? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. Next item is transition of the Lead West Committee to a joint delegated committee. This is a consequence of the new Act, of course, and is outlined in the agenda papers. It's to provide the background about the proposed changes in the governance arrangements for Lead West and recommend that Council establishes a new joint delegated committee under Section 64 of the Local Government Act 2020, known as Lead West Committee. And there's a bunch of recommendations there. So, any questions, councillors, on this item? In which case, looking for a mover, Councillor Tyler, the mover.
Happy to move, man.
And Councillor Briffa, the seconder. Thank you both. Councillor Tyler, you have 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mayor Marston. I'll be brief. This is due to changes to the Local Government Act, which require changes to the governance arrangements associated with Lead West. For those who are particularly interested, the details are outlined in the papers, but I'll spare people that detail at this stage.
Damn. You had 4 minutes and 40 seconds remaining, and I was hanging on every word. Not to worry. Any other speakers? Anyone against the motion?
As seconder, would you mind speaking briefly to it?
Please do.
Thank you. I encourage people to see, you know, if they want more details about what we're proposing, the terms of reference, whatever you want to call them, are in the attached appendices. So look at that. It refers to council resolution tonight, assuming this goes through, the delimitation of the delegations of what the powers are for this group, the Lead West Committee, and that it comes into effect on the 1st of August. And, of course, council retains the ability to revoke the delegation if needed. Council's role in that committee, along with the other members. So happy to second this, and anything that really gets with suburbs councils working together to promote the way that, you know, we live, work, play in the West. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Briffa. Anyone against? Any other speakers? Councillor Tyler.
Happy to go to the vote, Mayor.
Let's put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all. And thank you and good luck to Councillor Tyler as the Councillor Delegate and Councillor Grima as the proxy for Council. It's an important forum that I've had the honour of being part of before, and I wish you all the best in advocating for the interests of Hobsons Bay residents and those residents in the Greater West. Next item is 9.2.1 and is a memorial plaque request. Mr. Rex Keith Swan, OAM. And this is to consider the installation of a memorial plaque in recognition of the late Mr. Rex Keith Swan, OAM. Any questions?
Happy to move.
Thank you, Councillor Hemphill, the mover. Councillor Briffa, the seconder. Councillor Hemphill, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This motion before us comes about because of the family of Mr. Rex Swan. They want his service to the community recognised. His wife Ruth, daughter Kerry, and her husband Alan, and son Greg, and daughter Nora Leonie. And you can see from his achievements, he was very much a sportsman, playing for the Spotswood Football Club and the Williamstown Football Club, and later on playing bowls. I've met him a few times, actually, and I always found him to be a very genial sort of man. He always had a smile on his face. He was such a generous man too, and he always wanted to give back to the community. You can see there that with his involvement with the Footscray District Football League, which later became the Western Region Football League, and his involvement with as an administrator there, but also with the clubs such as Probus, Williamstown Bowling Club, which I mentioned, the Williamstown Garden Club. He had a very active role in the community. And he also, as you can see, received an Order of Australia medal. The family want to recognise his contribution to the city of Hobsons Bay and are requesting a plaque on a seat in the Cyril Curtin Reserve. Specifically, we've identified that that be behind the Williamstown Football Club, which would be quite appropriate given his involvement there, both as a player and as an administrator. And I think he's a life. No, sorry, he's not a life member there. He is a life member there. I thought I saw that. So it's very appropriate that we find a spot to recognise his contribution to our community.
Thank you kindly. And Councillor Briffa, as a seconder, would you like to speak to the motion?
Thank you. Yes, very happy to speak in support of this. I don't believe that I've ever met Mr. Swan, but I certainly have met members of his family at various events at the Williamstown Footy Club. And the members and the President and other people at the Williamstown Footy Club speak very highly of Mr. Swan and indeed his family. Also met them at a Pride Game function some time ago. And his family spoke very highly of him. He clearly made quite a contribution to the local footy scene in particular. And on that basis, I'm very happy to support this and look forward to seeing the plaque on the seat, and it's a very appropriate location given his involvement with the club. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Any other speakers to the motion? In which case, we'll take it now to the vote. All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, colleagues, and I'd like to add my condolences to the family of Mr. Swan on behalf of the entire council and the Hobsons Bay community. We move now to the next item, which is 9.2.2, update on the review of mayoral and councillor allowances. Any questions on this item? Councillors, I seek a way forward.
So moved.
Councillor Hemphill moves the motion as printed as the recommendation. Any seconder?
I must admit, I feel funny seconding this because it might be a conflict of interest, but I'm happy to second it.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Hemphill.
Mr. Mayor, it's pretty straightforward. I have nothing to add. It's just largely cancelling a meeting that had been planned.
Lovely, thank you. Councillor Briffa.
Thank you. Yes, it is about cancelling the meeting that we had planned to his submissions and making sure that we provide public notice about that, but also important to note that we received no submissions in relation to what we are intending to do with council, with mayoral and councillor allowances, and that intention is to not increase them. So that, to me, is the key message. I just want people to understand that what this is we have decided as a council, pending this decision, that we will not be increasing the mayoral and council allowances. People can read the report and hopefully see what the council allowances are. And for the benefit of people listening in, the total remuneration paid to a councillor in Hobsons Bay City Council per annum in total before tax is $28,870, so just under 29K. And for the mayor is just under 90,000, so 89,324. That is the total amount remunerated for each councillor and the mayor. There are no other additional payments. I just want to make that really clear. And there's not going to be any changes to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? In which case, I'll put the motion to the vote now. All those in favour? The motion carried unanimously. Thank you all. Move now to 9.3.1. Which is a standing item, Westgate Tunnel Project update. Any questions, councillors? I'll look for a mover for this item.
So moved.
Councillor Briffa, the mover. Councillor Suttler, the seconder. Thank you. Councillor Briffa.
I'll be very brief. It's a regular report that we receive regarding the Westgate Tunnel project. It is not our project. It's a project by the state government. It has a number of flaws. In fact, in particular, in terms of its impact on Brooklyn, and I certainly wish that the ramps were created and extended up to Grieve Parade, that not being the case anyway, but it is good that we receive regular updates as we have. It says here that the project commenced in 2018 and expected to be completed in 2024. I think it was 2022 and then 2023 and now 2024, and who knows where that's going to end. But I look forward to it being finished, frankly, and also for the government to actually extend the works to Grieve Parade to get rid of a lot of trucks and pollution in Brooklyn, Altona North. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Briffa. Councillor Sutton-Lego.
No further comment, thank you.
Certainly. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers? I'll go to the vote.
Got it.
Put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Motion carried unanimously. Thank you all. Moving now to the next item, which is other delegate reports. And
so moved.
Moved by Councillor Briffa that Council receive and note the recent delegate report. And there's really only one, which pertains to me.
Second.
We need a seconder from Councillor Hemphill. Councillor Briffa?
Happy to move this motion and am happy to defer to yourself, Mr Mayor, so that you can discuss this report. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hemphill?
Same.
Thank you. In which case, I will take the opportunity to speak to the motion, even though I am sitting in the chair. I'll just bring my colleagues up to speed on what's been happening at the MTF. The Minister for Public Transport, Roads and Road Safety, the Honourable Ben Carroll, was the guest presenter at the MTF, which followed the state budget. And Mr Carroll spoke at length without aid or notes and was very keen to hear from the members and member councils around challenges facing the Metropolitan Councils, particularly when it comes to the effects of COVID and the opportunities that were presented in order to pedestrianise and bring up pop-up bike lanes to ease the pressure on the roads, given that a lot of people are not returning to public transport due to the virus. Councillor Tom Milliken, my Vice President at the Metropolitan Transport Forum, put it to the Minister that Council should consider 50-50 funding of cycling infrastructure, and Mr Carroll took the idea on board, and I think that's probably something that I hope to bring up with the Minister in future meetings, because it strikes me as a good way of getting some of those quick wins on the board to account for the delayed return to public transport. Mr Carroll also spoke about the aggressive targets now for zero emissions buses, which will start in 2025, so all buses after 2025 will be zero emissions, and that will be used to sort out the Metropolitan bus network and meet the 70% ridership increase target by 2030. So some good movement on buses, some good movement on active transport, and which will in turn give a lot of choice to outer residents of the metropolitan area when it comes to getting to stations, when it comes to getting to school and work. And that concludes my report. Would anyone else like to say anything? If not, then I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in support? All those in favour of the motion? The motion carried unanimously. Thank you all, and thank you for indulging my contribution to the debate. We move now to notices of motion, and no notices of motion were received. Public question time.
Mr Mayor, can I move, and I note that it's not listed here in the agenda, yep, but I'm happy to move that we consider an urgent item of business. And under Governance Rule 6.1.5, it says that urgent business is considered immediately following notices of motion. So hence my me moving the urgent business right now. It actually doesn't, yeah. So if you look at 6.1.5, and the nature of the urgent business is a condolence motion.
Thank you. So the motion is that we consider the condolence motion, and I accept that there's a conflict between the printed agenda and the rules. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Yeah. All right, in which case now we're effectively swapping the position of 12, supplementary public question time, and 13, urgent business. And urgent business will now precede supplementary public question time before we close the meeting. So the motion is that we consider the condolence motion under urgent business, and that will require a seconder, which is Councillor Hemphill. All those in favour? The motion carried unanimously. And those words are going up, and it's been carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay, we now move to the motion itself, which is concerning a recent death of a well-loved resident, and I'll ask for a condolence motion at this point.
Mayor, happy to move that condolence motion. Just a question on clarity, shall we move specific words related to that condolence motion?
I think what we'll do is we can include any words spoken through the meeting in the minutes, and for the purposes of recording the condolence motion, that we adapt it to a standard form of words, which I'll ask for a copy of from Governance.
And just a suggestion, sure, to move forward, that the Hobsons Bay City Council expresses its condolences to the family of...
This is Mr Robbie Batsky.
Yeah, Mr Robbie, yeah, Batsky of Laverton. And that's probably sufficient, then we can talk about it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that contribution. And Councillor Tyler, you see those words on screen?
Yes, Mayor Marston.
And we'll
happy
be...
Happy to move.
The spelling of the surname, for your benefit, is B-A-T-Z-K-E.
Okay.
Excellent. And then what we'll do is include your eulogy in the minutes. So moved by Councillor Tyler, seconded by Councillor Greemer as the fellow Whitlands ward councillor, given that Mr Batsky lived in Laverton. That's true. And normally we would send a letter of condolence from the mayor, and with your indulgence, perhaps we could include that as as an action as well.
Sure.
By agreement with the mover and the seconder. Happy with those words?
Yes, Mayor Marsden.
Okay. Given that we have a mover and a seconder, I'll now ask you, Councillor Tyler, to speak to the motion.
Thanks, Mayor Marsden. It is with heavy hearts that I acknowledge the passing of Laverton poet Kenneth Robert Albert Batsky, or Robbie, as he was affectionately known. He was 54. I was so very, very saddened to hear this news. I'd only connected with Robbie more recently, and something that struck me very quickly was his zest, a real zeal for life. We were only just recently chatting at an Altona Lions Club dinner during National Reconciliation Week, where he shared he wanted to catch up with myself and my colleague Councillor Grimmer about some plans he was cooking up for Laverton, where he lived. Robbie was a poet, a proud Torres Strait Islander man, and a genuine community person. I had the good fortune, with I know other councillors, of seeing him perform recently at the 2021 Australia Day Breakfast, again hosted by the Lions Club, together with his wife, Shante, a distinguished Aboriginal opera singer in her own right. It was a powerful truth-telling and something that I and I know others won't forget. Robbie also shared his talents at other council events and community projects, including the Laverton Block Party and Soul Forgive, a not-for-profit Indigenous advocacy group who run creative workshops in music, poetry, singing and the creative arts at the Wood Street Arts Base in Laverton. Robbie was the nephew of Auntie Pauline Cassidy and relative of Uncle Manny, two prominent Torres Strait Islander community members the council I know regularly works with. Robbie was and is much loved. I know he'll be very dearly missed. He was a beloved father, grandfather and uncle. Robbie will be laid to rest following a funeral tomorrow at the Altona Memorial Park, and a wake will be held at the Laverton Community Hub. I'd like to send our very deep condolences to Robbie, his beloved wife, children and his broader family, as well as members of our community who knew Robbie. Rest in peace.
Thank you, Councillor Tyler. I invite the seconder to the motion to speak to the motion.
As everyone could hear what Councillor Tyler has relayed to this lovely gentleman, Robbie, it's a true inspiration, and someone who's raised and born in Laverton and Altona Meadows, you're getting more and more inspired, and I was that little girl who always, you know, loved to hear what people did, and especially in our great community. So condolences to the family from me and my family. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grimmer. Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? In which case, I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried unanimously. I'd like to add that I'd like to convey the condolences of Hobsons Bay City Council to the surviving family of Mr Robbie Batsky, and in particular to Shante Batsky, who I've known for some years and who I know was a keen and loving collaborator with Robbie on a mission to translate opera into her own language and to perform truth-telling so that we could create a peaceful future as a city, and I'm very proud to have Shantae and her family, and indeed Robbie Batsky, as honoured citizens and residents of Hobsons Bay. So, thank you. Are there any other items of urgent business to raise? Since there appear to be none, I will now go back to supplementary public question time, which is now our last item of business before we close. And there's been one question received from Jeff Godfredson. And this question will be taken on notice and will respond to Mr. Godfredson in writing and provide data if possible. And the question reads as follows. Is it possible to see the data that relates to the levels of use of Coastal Trail between Webb and Bent Street compared to usage on other parts of the trail in Altona? Thank you, Mr. Godfredson, for your question, and we'll provide that answer in writing. Which brings us to the end of our council meeting. The time now is 8:33, and I declare the meeting closed. Thank you all.